Greetings, Quality News readers, or should I say listeners, and welcome to September Quality News number 2. In this edition, we're into the final third of the 10 characteristics of effective quality and clinical governance systems, which is all about propelling progress with robust governance and systems. In part 2 today, we're going to further explore the 4 pillars of clinical governance, well, the 4 pillars that I prefer anyway. But before we get to that, a short advertisement. The Australian ACCPA Aged Care Conference is coming up in Adelaide in October 2022, and I'm going to be there talking about avoiding the 4 biggest clinical governance rabbit holes that you can find. So I'll be giving some tips on how to avoid these rabbit holes, learned from very hard experience, and would love to see you there. So if you are there, please come along and hear about how to avoid those deep rabbit holes and come up and say hi. Okay, what I know for almost sure about these 4 clinical governance pillars is that there's some confusion out there about clinical or quality governance frameworks. There's so many of them, and some look so different from others, it makes you wonder if we're all talking about the same thing. This overwhelm leads people to focus on form rather than function. How many clinical governance domains or pillars should there be? What should they be called? Which systems sit under which pillar? Unfortunately, there isn't one right clinical governance framework, just like there's no right car for everyone. But just like cars, clinical governance frameworks all have things in common and must include some consistent basics to be effective. Most people ask, what should a clinical governance framework look like? I think a better question is, what should a clinical governance framework tell us? After all, what is the purpose of a framework? Here's one definition. A framework is a structure intended to serve as a support or guide for the building of something that expands the structure into something useful. At first glance, there's a bit of say what in this definition, but it's not a bad one. Essentially, it's saying that a framework provides guidance for building something useful. How I know it? Years of research, trial and error. Developing frameworks for health departments and numerous human service organisations. Working with organisations using beautiful looking frameworks copied from elsewhere that were not resonating with their staff, seeing what works for the people who must lead, implement, and work with them. What you can do? Get clear about what a clinical governance framework should tell you, so you're in a better position to judge what structure and content your framework should have. It should answer key questions about how clinical governance works in your organisation, so it can guide the right actions for point of care success. My thoughts on these questions include: Number 1, positioning. How does our organisation use clinical governance to support our strategic direction? Number 2, purpose. What are our point of care quality goals that clinical governance will help us achieve? Number 3, people. What specific roles are people required to fulfil wherever they are in our organisation to achieve the quality goals? Number 4, pillars. What clinical governance systems must we have in place to achieve our quality goals? Where do standards, legislation, and other compliance requirements fit, and how will they help us to achieve our quality goals? I like to use 4 clinical governance pillars within which the key clinical governance systems can be organised. Some frameworks use 5 or 6 pillars. It's the same cake, differently sliced. I like to simplify wherever possible and basically just find 4 clinical governance pillars easier to remember. I can always find a place for anything from a 5 or 6 pillar model under my 4, which are planning, leadership and culture, partnering with consumers, positive people and practice, and pursuing high performance. And number 5, practice. How do these systems work in practice? Specifically, how are they implemented in our organisation? And this may link to separate documents, for example, a clinical risk management framework, a policy and procedure framework, a set of quality measures, or committee terms of reference, or a quality plan. What change tools do we use to support effective implementation with managers and staff? And what I know for almost sure about effective quality professionals, they don't get caught up in the how before they get clear about the what and the why. People often end up in quality roles because they're doers, but the great ones are thinkers first. They can see the traps of activity without clarity, of solving a problem before really understanding it, of mistaking action for achievement. Successful quality professionals also help others to think before doing, and in the process help their organisation to make a bigger and more sustained difference at point of care. That's it for this edition of Quality News. Look forward to talking to you soon.